passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier, and two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Nancy.
Yeah, Dad?
Can I see you a minute?
Yes, sir. Oh, wow. Some cookout, huh? Look at that rain.
Oh, you kids are doing all right. Nancy, how long ago did Kate call?
Oh, I'd say about half an hour ago.
She ought to be here by now.
Well, she didn't say she was on her way. She said she'd be late.
Well, it's late now.
Look, don't worry about Kate. David's gone looking for her.
Oh, then he knows where she is.
No. Look, personally, I don't think it's anybody's business. She's 27. Now, that's old, but it's not over the hill yet. I hope when she gets into the city, she gets madly liberated. Oh, wait, here's David.
Oh, no Kate, David?
Nope. Nancy, have you any idea at all where Kate called from?
The connection was terrible. It sounded like from outer space, but it was a pay booth.
You sure?
Well, I heard the operator deposit 15 cents.
That's out of the county, Jim.
Thank you for coming, Mrs. Wakefield. Let me take that dripping raincoat.
Oh, thank you.
Now, sit down, won't you?
What is this about, Mr. Wolf?
Well, I wanted to meet you. I thought a great deal of your husband. I was shocked by the tragedy of his death. I wanted to express my sympathy in person.
That's very kind of you.
Oh, please sit down. This is not quite the meeting place I'd prefer, but it was the best I could do on short notice.
I wondered when I got your note at the Centerville Inn.
Well, I'll be quite frank with you. You'll find I'm always frank, Mrs. Wakefield. But probably due to the rain, the inn was rather crowded. I thought it might embarrass you to be seen with me.
Why should it?
Well, I am not now a successful or respected man. I'm a lawyer who has been discredited and barred from practicing. I was convicted of perjury, and I have served 1 year and 8 months behind prison bars. What I did for my clients. Yes, I would do it again. But loyalty has no place in a court of law. Now, you know everything about me.
I don't know much about courts, Mr. Wolf, but I think loyalty is important.
I've lived my life for it.
You knew Tom well?
No. Didn't he ever mention?
No, he didn't.
Arthur Wakefield never spoke of me.
I never heard your name until you called me. And yet, it isn't strange to me. I don't know why.
I was the lawyer who handled Tom's accident.
Oh.
You didn't know that?
No.
Did you know what happened?
Well, there were so many rumors and stories flying around. There wasn't much in the paper, maybe because it happened up in North Falls, but the talk was terrible. I believed what Tom told me and his father told me.
What was that?
That the girl had stepped in front of Tom's car. She wanted a lift, and he couldn't avoid her. I've had nightmares about it for a long time. I still do.
It's an ugly story. You should forget it.
But it wasn't Tom's fault.
If it hadn't been, Arthur Wakefield wouldn't have called on me.
What are you getting at, Mr. Wolf?
I'm embarrassed that you know so little.
What should I know?
Well, nothing. It was 5 years ago. It's better forgotten. I was able to save him.
From what? What are you hinting at?
Well, it's no secret to you that your husband took drugs.
No.
He was on a very bad trip that night.
What?
A delayed reaction. He should never have been driving.
I didn't know that.
The girl was 15 feet from the road when he struck her.
Oh, my God.
He didn't know what he was doing.
Was Tom one of the clients you perjured yourself for, Mr. Wolf?
Oh, no. That wasn't involved.
But you kept Tom from going to prison.
Well, let's say I kept him from being sent away. His father was very grateful.
And what do you want from me?
I had only the simplest idea in asking to see you. I had a very special esteem for Tom. And I believe he had for me. I'm a man without friends now. And I treasure those I once had. So, when I was freed, I wanted to meet you for Tom's sake.
Oh, but why didn't you leave your name when you first called or come to the house?
Well, I'm not yet comfortable in places where I've been known.
Oh, I can't understand that.
Yes, though I had the simplest motives to reach out to old friends. Now, here, I mustn't keep you. You had a fine husband in Tom. I advise you to forget everything else.
Oh, not many people say that to me.
I knew him. Oh, by the way, Tom once said he would send me a small memento of our friendship.
Oh.
In appreciation of what I did. I never received it.
Well, what was it?
Probably in the form of a letter. It wouldn't mean anything to anyone else. But if it ever turns up among his papers, addressed to me...
I think Tom's father destroyed all his papers and records.
Well... Perhaps I'm being too sensitive.
What if I should come across it?
Then I'll send you a post office box number where you could mail it. It's been good to talk to you about Tom.
You've been very kind, Mr. Wolf.
I know how much he thought of you. It's odd. The girl in that accident looked very much like you.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. But then I learned about new Dayquil. I compared labels. Dayquil has no aspirin, either. Both have the same pain reliever, same effectiveness. But compare prices. Dayquil can cost less. So shop for the best prices and save money.
Dayquil, new from Bristol-Myers.
The programs of the Radio Playhouse are a new service of this station and the Bristol-Myers Company. New in that daytime radio drama has not been on the air in many years, but also a new listening experience for you in that you are an important part of our programs. Your imagination plays a large part in picturing the characters and setting of our stories. We hope you're enjoying the programs and using your imagination. We'd like to hear from you. Imagine that. Write us at Faces of Love, 345 Park Avenue, New York, New York, 10022, or your local station.
You cook these hamburgers, Nancy?
They're my dream burgers. Sort of sloppy joes with pineapple, garlic, and runny cheese.
And we're eating them?
Hey, come on,
guys. David, what do you think?
Well, the rain is letting up.
Yeah, well, Kate drives in any weather.
What does Joy think?
I haven't asked her. She's busy with the kids.
Where could Kate possibly have gone?
It's not where. It's with whom.
You know?
Yes.
Well, why in blazes didn't you say so? Has it taken you all this time to come out with it?
I'm not a guy who likes to talk about other people's business. It only makes trouble. But at this hour, I guess you ought to know as much as I do. Ever hear of Stephen Wolfe?
Oh, yeah. Joy told me she took a message from a Stephen Wolf the other day for Kate.
That's the guy. You know who he is?
No.
He's the lawyer Arthur Wakefield called in when Tom had his accident.
Oh, that's the guy. Oh, that was the biggest touch-up job I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Wolf's a crook. He knew how to use money. He kept it out of the papers. But the law finally caught up with him. He went to jail, and he's been disbarred.
And are you telling me that Kate has gone to see this man?
Yep. Someplace where it costs 15 cents to telephone back.
Oh, I wish you'd told me all this, David.
What good would it do?
Well, I don't like it.
You don't think I do?
And Kate is like Joy. She trusts everybody. Why she could get
Hi.
Into...
Have what? I missed much?
Oh.
Oh,
oh.
Hey, can you make an entrance? Where is everybody?
Let's see. Mom's in the kitchen. Dad's looking daggers. And David is dying on the vine.
Hey, have a dream burger.
Oh, give me time. Hello, Jim here.
You okay?
Of course I'm okay. I'm starved, though. Haven't you got a brotherly kiss?
Oh, sure. You worried us, Kate.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Look, I'll tell Joy that you're here.
Okay. Hello, David.
Evening.
Oh, that tone doesn't exactly match the tie.
Glad you noticed. So you saw a wolf?
Yes. How did you know?
Pat told me.
David, all of you are wrong about Stephen Wolf.
Oh, yeah?
He wanted nothing, absolutely nothing. He's a little man who needs friends. He thought a lot of Tom, and he helped him. I'm not one to forget that now.
To you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol Myers. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula, our conditioning formula, is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Ladies, I had girded myself to write once again of Miss Matilda Crawley and her waspish temper. But I find, to my relief, she is in most agreeable humor this morning as she directs Miss Briggs in the matter of departure for Queen's Crawley. My dear listeners, have I made clear Miss Briggs' position in the household on London's Park Row? Well, I confess I sometimes forget what I have written, or not written. I beg your indulgence for this weakness. Now, where was I? Ah, yes. Miss Briggs. She is called companion and friend. But attentive listeners may already have observed she is more servant than companion, more lackey than friend. This untidy matter being dealt with, let us proceed.
Briggs, come in, please. I was just on my way to report all is packed and ready for your journey.
Oh, what a pity. It's why I rang.
Pity? But, madam, you told me to have all in readiness.
It is my privilege, dear Briggs, to change my mind. I said, more's the pity all is packed. For now you must unpack.
Changed your mind about going to Queen's Crawley.
Oh, look at us. At faithful Briggs, fearful she shan't have her holiday.
No, oh, no. Tis your holiday I'm concerned with. You're so bored in London out of season.
Oh, kindly do not remind me.
Then, may I ask why you're not to visit your brother?
Did I say I'm not to visit my brother? Odd, I did not hear myself say that. Have I grown deaf or maybe senile that I disremember what I have said?
You are teasing, Miss Crawley.
It's wicked of me, but I do enjoy seeing you all flustered. I am indeed going to Queen's Crawley, but not today. Tomorrow.
Oh, I am relieved.
You're obliged to unpack only a few things needed here as well as there. I regret being such a bother.
Oh, no bother. I'm too pleased you'll soon be where the country air will do you a world of good.
Country air, fiddlesticks. What improves my health better than any remedy the apothecary can prescribe is my two brothers' discomfort at my presence. How they do grovel. And those sworn enemies the year round become quite loving when their sister arrives. A delight to watch. And I can scarcely wait to watch it.
Then, if I may ask, why do you delay that departure till tomorrow?
Well, I don't wish to appear unannounced. The hall is a shambles when I'm not in residence. I want Sir Pitt to have all in readiness for his wealthy sister, who he hopes will die decently soon, and leave him part of her fortune.
Miss Crawley.
A chilling thought, but that odious little man wishes both. Fetch pen and paper from the desk, please. I shall send a messenger heralding my arrival.
Yes, madam, right away.
And purple ink for some obscure reason that annoys Pitt. You'll have 24 hours to see that the mansion is cleaned, polished, my rooms prepared, flowers everywhere, champagne ordered, proper food got in. Oh, the stinginess of my brother at table, food hardly fit for servants. But tomorrow, lobsters from London and every other luxury imaginable. My, I do find it convenient to be rich, Briggs.
I should imagine. Oh, the writing things, madam.
Oh, very good. Now, let me see, what can I write to put the baronet in a proper rage? My dear brother Pitt. Oh, Briggs, what chaos if at all times we spoke the naked truth. This letter would then begin, my dear miserly, money-grubbing, covetous, greedy, bumbling, rascal brother.
Money-grubbing, covetous, greedy, bumbling rascal Sir Pitt, in mid-afternoon, is admiring his peaks, observing with pleasure how fat they have grown, and calculating with relish how much they will fetch per pound to line his hungry pockets. Naturally, nothing so dear as pork is served at the hall. His happy meditations are interrupted by the one person he likes to interrupt them.
Sir Pitt!
Oh, Miss Becky, what brings you?
A letter by messenger.
If another blackguard is suing me, tear it to bits and feed it to the ogre.
I don't think so. It's a lady's script in purple ink.
Matilda.
Sir?
My sister, half-sister, and half be more than sufficient. Throw it to the pigs.
Ah, but it may be very good news.
I know what it says in its confounded purple ink. I am coming to Queen's Crawley. Have all in readiness.
Turkey, turn away from these grubby creatures. I can't hear a syllable.
Oh, very well.
Oh, no. Tell me again what calamitous news you think is in the letter.
Don't think, no. Dear brother, I am coming to Queen's Crawley. Have all in readiness. Readiness? The whole of the place did over, all for her.
Done over? Oh, never mind. You're in a pet already. Now, do read the letter. Learn what it truly says.
Take that damn thing. Read it yourself. It burns me fingers.
Yes, sir. Dear...
Well, hang it. Read aloud, girl.
Oh, why, sir, I thought you had no wish to hear.
Don't bandy with me, miss. I ain't in a temper for it.
My dear brother Pip.
Dear, in a pig's eye.
On the morrow, I shall make my annual visit to Queen's Crawley. Have all in readiness.
There, me exact words. Read.
Lest you forget my requirement, I will have my usual sitting room, dressing room, and bedchamber. Kindly provide me with a maid servant superior to the witless state you foisted upon me last year. You will leave off looking like a chimney sweep and dressed like a baroness. Lady Crawley will leave off sniffling or stay in her quarters. Your milksop elder son will leave off sermonizing or go to London during my stay. Your little girls will leave off behaving like hoydens or be kept in the nursery. Enough. I've no more patience for tallying my needs. You know them full well. Expect me and Puff Puff before sunset on the morrow. I am your affectionate sister, Matilda.
Affectionate? Yeah. No more to me than me to her.
Who is Puff Puff?
Her spoiled spaniel with his tongue lolling out for chocolate. That devil take Matilda. Has ever any other man endured such a sister?
Sir Pitt, if such bad blood is between you, quickly send a message that you'll not receive her. Oh, she does sound a virago.
A sea-wolf she is.
Now come, I shall write the letter for you. We will list your requirements and quite put her in her place. Why are you hanging back?
Leave me be. Matilda comes and there's naught to do for it.
Why?
It is none of your affair, miss.
Could it be... could it possibly be... surely it hasn't to do with... fie. Sir Pitt Crawley would not bow to anything so vulgar and base.
What are you babbling about?
Miss Matilda Crawley's £70,000 a year.
Gammy Becky Sharp, you... Ah, you saucy vixen. And I'd like to see the one that could best you, even my affectionate sister.
Ladies, tomorrow, I have your promise, you have mine. Your servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Farrell. To know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. Let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxter. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Daytro, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. But then I learned about new Daytro. I compared labels. Daytro has no aspirin either. Both have the same pain reliever, same effectiveness. But compare prices. Daytro can cost less. So shop for the best prices and save money.
Daytrill, new from Bristol-Myers.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
Hey, what's all this mess in the front hall? Where are you?
I'm coming down from the attic, dirt. Now look up. Get out of my way. These boxes are heavy.
What are you doing? You shouldn't be carrying heavy things like that. Now, here. Let me help.
I'm all right. Get out of the way so I can set them down.
Let me take them. There.
Thank you. That's so typical.
What's typical?
Well, I've lugged these down from the attic myself, two flights of stairs, and you take them from me and set them on the floor.
Well, what's typical about
nothing,
that?
Nothing. Forget it. Listen, I don't really like to tell you this, but there's no way to avoid it. This is going to be known as cleanup week, or more precisely, throw-out week. Now, don't start turning pale.
Just what are you planning to throw out?
Everything in this house, attic, basement, garage, that we don't use and never have used and never will use.
Now, listen.
No, we have more junk around here, and we're going to have a tag sale.
Tag sale?
Well, actually, a garage sale out here. Our garage, Faye and Elaine and Evie and I are going in out together. Maybe serve tea and coffee. Faye's going to make some cookies. Keep out of those boxes, please.
These good andirons. No wonder the box was heavy. You weren't planning to throw these out, were you?
Honey, we're not throwing things out. We're selling them. That's what tag sales are. We don't need them anyway. That one is broken.
Well, repair it and polish them up and they look fine.
No, for somebody who needs them, we don't. Don't you have a date to play tennis with Fred before dinner?
Yeah.
All right, then you go play tennis with Fred, will you, dear? I'm taking the station wagon up to Faye's to pick up some books for the tag sale. And I just wondered if you knew, Manny, where the five boxes of books are that Faye is going to put in the tag sale.
Books? What books?
Oh, well, where is Faye? I hear in the kitchen. Never mind, Manny. I'll find her.
What books?
Look, don't...
Faye!
Don't bother, Manny. I thought you were going to be late at your studio tonight giving lessons, and I just...
What's the matter? Manny, I didn't know
what
you were home.
What is all this about books to be put in some tag sale?
Well, I was going to tell you when you got home, Manny.
Huh?
We're going to have a tag sale, a bunch of us, and you've got all those old books.
Those old books? Selling my books?
Just the old paperbacks. I wasn't going to get rid of any of the classics or your good books.
They're all
so
good.
So heaven knows half of those could be thrown out, too.
No, nothing. And I repeat, nothing is going to be thrown out.
We're not throwing out, Manny. It's a tag sale. We're selling...
Not
you know.
My books, you're not.
Manny, I counted. You have 1,022 paperbacks all over this house. Just paperbacks.
Yes, yes.
Half of them are dried up and falling to pieces.
Look, I think I'll run out.
I like having thousands of books around me.
I wasn't throwing out good books or your 500 record albums or every copy of the New York Times since 1958.
Manny, I'll talk to you tomorrow, Faye. I'm going down to Elaine's and get the clothes she wants you to bring up to my station right now. See you tomorrow,
Don't
Faye.
You ever throw out my books. Even paperbacks.
You save everything, and I'm sick and tired of living in this mess. The whole house. The whole house.
And Manny was just sort of in a rage over the books,
you know? We'll just get all these clothes in the car before Carl gets home.
All right.
I'm not going to tell him a thing about it.
Uh-huh.
What he doesn't know won't hurt him, and he'll never miss these old things.
Okay. Just what is it Carl won't miss?
When did you get home?
10 minutes ago. I was out in the garden. What's all that?
Now, look, Carl.
Isn't that my overcoat? It is. What are you doing?
We're going to have a tag sale, Carl. It's next weekend, and we're starting to get ready for it this week, you know?
We're not throwing things out, Carl. We're selling them.
Not my overcoat, you're not.
You know when you bought that coat? 1960.
It's as good as new.
Well, you never wear it, and you never will. And it's not as good as new. The cuffs are frayed, so are the pockets. The buttons are all gone.
What else have you got in these boxes? Dishes?
I'm sorry, Elaine. I should have gotten here earlier.
These are my mother's dishes.
Now, Carl, we have six sets of dishes. two sets of our own, two sets my mother left us,
mm-hmm.
two sets your mother left us.
Yes.
I'm keeping all the good things. These are just the everyday dishes.
Mother's dishes?
Your mother's everyday dishes, which we never use. Oh. And they're not attractive anyway. The sets aren't complete. The plates are chipped. Cups don't match. Look.
Wait a minute.
Here in this box, I'm also getting rid of my mother's everyday dishes, which are ugly.
Ugly?
I think I better get on home, Elaine.
My mother gave you her dishes because she said you would be careful of the lovely things that meant so much to her.
Carl, I am keeping the good things and getting rid of the junk.
My mother never had any junk. My mother had excellent taste.
Elaine and Carl, I'm going on home.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Hi, I'm a teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
I don't understand you. I really don't understand you. I have saved these National Geographic since I was 14 years old.
Why?
Well, what do you mean, why?
They were fine for reference work when the children were going to school, grade school and high school, but now they sit in pile after pile in the attic. Or they did sit there. It took me 2 hours alone to drag them down.
But they're beautiful magazines. Yes. They're fascinating.
They are.
And
they
someday,
are.
Someday, I'm going to read them over again.
When?
Well, years from now, when I retire, I guess.
When you retire, you're going to sit in the attic and read 50 years of National Geographic?
Well, yes.
Oh, sounds like we're going to have an awfully happy old age. Our sunset years together and you in the attic all the time, huh?
Well, these are valuable. They can be sold.
That's the idea of the tag sale.
And
dear.
Why? Why would you even think of throwing out this lovely fur coat? I remember the Christmas I gave it to you.
So do I, and I loved it. But it's a bit out of style and worn out. It's also down to my ankles. But if you want me to save it, if you want to take me places this coming winter wearing that coat, I'll take it.
No, I didn't say that. I just thought for sentiment's sake alone.
Sentiment, darling. Listen, even if Mrs. Muskrat, who once wore this coat, put it on this year, her husband would say to her, oh, go build your own dam.
Very funny.
Why? Why do you men want to save everything?
Well, why do you women want to throw out everything?
I don't know. I suppose because we're the ones who have to clean the attics and the basements and the closets. And it is just nonsense to keep things you will never use again.
Every time we've thrown something out, haven't we always found that it's almost the next day that we wished we had it?
Mm-hmm. I admit that's true. Well, I admit it's true. But with all these old suits you've saved, the women at the church can cut them up and use them for hook rugs. You know, they need wool things.
Wait a minute. What old suits of mine? Where are they?
Oh, I should never have mentioned those. In that box.
You admit, then, that you were throwing these out?
Honey, what do you mean?
I thought this tag sale meant you were selling things.
Yes, but I didn't think anybody would buy 15-year-old suits. I thought that we could contribute those to the church.
Oh.
But I will try to sell them first.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you do in a tag sale with things you don't sell?
Well, you bring them home again, I guess, or reduce the prices down to nothing, so somebody buys them to use for something. I don't know. I never had a tag sale. So no experience.
Well, when is the sale?
Well, we figured it would take us this week to get ready. Start a Thursday or Friday, whenever we're ready. Keep it going over the weekend. Summer people are still here. You know, some of them, anyhow.
Tanglewood will be over. Summer theaters are over.
Well, some people without children stay longer. People come to tag sales for miles around, Stockbridge, Middlefield.
I wish you wouldn't get these ideas. When you start throwing things out, it's sort of eerie, as though we were dying or something. Getting rid of our effect, so-called.
Why, that's the silliest thing I ever heard, honey. Is that why you saved things?
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, I promise you, there will be nothing in the tag sale that you don't know about. Now go have your tennis game with Fred and let me get dinner, huh? Please. Go.
Well, you need the exercise if you want to live to be 125.
Well, I don't expect to live that long.
No, you're going to need to. You're going to read all those 50 years of National Geographic. Go play tennis, Alan.
Okay, okay. Sweetheart,
mm?
Please, don't throw out everything, huh?
Oh, honey, I won't. We've got our scrapbooks, photograph albums, and we won't need my old muskrat coat to keep us warm while we're looking at them.
No, think? I guess not. Okay, I'll get my shorts on.
All right, honey. Oh, put on those new shorts I got you, dear, in the top drawer.
Where are my old ones?
Put on the new ones, dear. You look cuter, you know, younger.
Oh, all right.
Hello? Oh, hi, Elaine. What? Your first big quarrel. Oh, damn. Oh, 15 years.
Honey, how much money do you think you girls will make with this tag sale?
Uh-huh. Hold on, Elaine, just a minute. Dear, John Simmons made
$300. $300? No kidding. Wow.
Elaine, forget all the divorce talk. Listen, we've got a new angle. Money. Now, look, tomorrow we'll get things together, put price tags on.
Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden was written by Peg Lynch and directed by Warren Somerville and has been brought to you by the O-Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. I'm Charles Wood. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula, our conditioning formula, is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
Emily, what are you doing up so early?
Oh, if you only knew what a pleasure it is to make your own coffee after days of hospital trays.
That smells good. How do you feel this morning?
Angela, if the way I feel could be packaged and sold, doctors would go out of business.
Including your own husband, of course.
Well, that would present a problem, wouldn't it? How do you like the breakfast tray? And here's a cup for you.
Oh, thanks. Do you want me to carry the tray for you? I'm assuming, of course, that it's for you and Jace.
No, I can manage just fine, Angela. By the way, I mixed some blueberry pancakes as a special treat for Bobby. We only have another week in which to spoil him.
Oh, sure. Going away to Harvard is not a punishment, exactly.
Oh, you know what a mother means.
Huh, do I? Here, I'll hold the door open.
Ah, thanks, dear. I want to get this upstairs while everything's still hot. Oh, I didn't know the steps were that high. Oh, I wonder... Was it the step? Oh.
I hear you.
Oh. I was hoping it would be the coffee that would wake you.
Yeah.
How are you, darling?
Mm-hmm. It's the kiss and the coffee. How was your night?
I don't know. I slept through the whole thing.
Oh, that's good. What time is it?
7:25.
Oh, well, that gives us 5 minutes of complete time-wasting luxury.
Oh, do you have to go in today?
Mm-hmm. You're okay, aren't you?
Yes, darling. I just thought that maybe the chief of medical services could let somebody else do the chiefing for a day.
Em, I wish you had a little more respect for the medical profession.
You forget, I just spent 5 days in the fond embrace of the medical profession.
Yes, and you're almost as good as new.
Mm-hmm. Why, you...
Hey, don't you,
you
throw
doctor?
That pillow unless you want coffee-colored sheets.
What I really want is that long weekend you promised me. It was your idea, remember?
All right, we'll have it. We'll have it, hon, as soon as the kids are settled in school. Now, waiting was your idea.
Oh, we can go to the cabin.
Well, I thought maybe the inn on the lake.
The cabin. Alone together. No bellboys. No phones.
Yeah, no room service either. Or chilled champagne.
Our own private log fire.
Yeah, logs that I will probably have to split.
Broiled largemouth bass we both will catch.
And dinner for two in the county jail for fishing out of season.
Oh, they wouldn't.
You want another piece of toast, Marsh? Marsh?
Hmm?
That newspaper is communicating nothing to me, except that you don't want to talk.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Ginger. Say, is there any more toast?
In a minute.
Who is Betsy?
She's sleeping in this morning.
Was she out that late?
You didn't notice.
Well, what time did she get in?
Around midnight.
On a Sunday night?
Well, school doesn't start until next week.
Well, what is she doing out that late?
Why don't you ask her?
Well, since you'll see her before I will...
It might work better if you talk to her. She listens to you.
Now, Ginger, this is too important for us to just pass back and forth between us. Betsy's only 16. She can't be allowed to stay out until all hours. I mean, who is she with?
I don't know, but I hope it's not the same crowd she was with last year.
Oh, why don't you find out?
You don't find out those things by asking direct questions. Betsy hates it. She says it's an invasion of her privacy.
Well, how will she know we're concerned about her if we don't ask questions?
That is a good question. You find out by spending time with her. By not being too busy to listen to her when she wants to talk.
I'm at the hospital every day. You're at home every day. Surely you can find
a
moment...
My sister Cora gets here day after tomorrow, and there won't be much chance then for private mother-daughter chats.
There is today and tomorrow, Ginger. You know, what Betsy does now will have a profound effect on her for the rest of her life. We can't let her drift along with some of those kids I've seen hanging out at the drive-in hamburger joint.
When have you been there?
What do you mean?
I've never been there with you. It's an ideal spot for quiet little meetings, isn't it?
Ginger?
Honey, no matter how careful you are, you give yourself away.
Now, Ginger... You promised.
And you promised to stop seeing Angela Fairchild.
Ginger, won't you believe me? I am not seeing Angela.
Angela, you won't forget those books I need from the hospital library.
Oh, Pierce's Childhood Fears and Aries' Centuries of Childhood.
Right.
Do you think you should start up studying so soon?
Oh, it's just reading, Angela.
Well, aren't you two finished? Jefferson Memorial can't wait forever, you know.
Okay. Have a good day, both of you.
Thank
bye
you.
Now.
Bye.
Bye.
It's a beautiful morning, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Angela, I had a talk with Marsh on Friday.
Oh, about Emily?
No, about you.
Oh.
Now, what you and Marsh do is none of my business.
What Marsh and I do, Jason.
I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Now, the only reason I spoke to Marsh was because of Susie.
Susie?
Yes. Whatever problem Marsh and Ginger have is getting to their Betsy and then to our Susie.
Well, I can imagine what impression Betsy is getting from her mother. You see, Ginger was over last week, and we had, well, I wouldn't call it a discussion exactly. More like a fencing match, I suppose.
Oh, you didn't tell me.
With all you have on your mind? And anyway, you didn't tell me. Susie had talked to you.
Well, yes, I guess we're both holding out on each other.
Look, Emily, doesn't know any of this, does she?
About Marsh? No, no. Only that it's apparent that he likes you a whole lot, Angie. He admitted that to me. Of course, I hardly can blame him.
I guess it's up to me, then.
What can you do?
Well, there's nothing I can do about Ginger, obviously, but you can be very sure I will not spend 1 minute with Marsh that is not connected with our work. I'd hate to have any of this upset Emily.
Coming. Oh, Mrs. Foster.
Please, Ginger. After all, our husband...
Oh, of course, you're right. Please come in, won't you?
Oh, thank you. I hope I'm not interrupting you.
No, no, I was just going over some of my class notes, and I see some of these library books are overdue.
Hmm. Parent effectiveness training. That sounds like a good idea for anyone.
Yes, it's a popular book. Not really necessary reading for my degree, but it is interesting.
Marsh said you were studying something.
Child psychology.
How do you find the time? You have three children.
Well, I didn't find it. I made it.
I see. And how are you feeling? I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to see you at the hospital when I stopped in to see Marsh.
Oh, I probably would have been out being tested for something anyway. I'm feeling just fine, thank you.
Is your sister still with you?
Yes. Oh, Angela's been a lifesaver.
I'm sure she has. You're very close, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. When our parents both died,
I'm sorry.
Was 12 and Angela was 15, and, well, she just took over. I remember she used to get up early to pack both our lunches and then walk me to my school before she went on to her own school.
I have an older sister, too, and she used to do things for me like that.
Really?
She gave me my first home permanent.
Angela gave me mine, too. Families are so important, aren't they?
Yes, they are, Emily. They certainly are.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.